Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs and city officials come to share their story. Sean Frelick joining me today.
Yeah, back in the
back in that hot seat.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to catch up on some tech bites with you, which I'm looking forward to. You every week, your weird angle on our tech bites, the feed is keeping us very entertained.
Right, yeah, the attempt is to find a creative way for people to care about subjects that are normally a little dry.
So well,
I try to throw some spice and flavor on top of it.
And the Right to Know Act is a perfect segue for that, because I think you actually brought this up in one of the previous feeds, and now we've got Mike Reaver, VP of Government Relations, Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, in here to kind of talk more about that sort of stuff. So before we switch over to Mike here, though, Sean, I just wanted to kind of get your, like, what do you, like, not quite get to the feed yet.
Okay.
I saw you getting amping up there.
I
saw you jumping in.
Uh-huh.
What is some of the things that just in general you're looking forward to with question wise with regard to having Mike here?
Well, I want to know how Illinois, specifically the conversations that are being had in Springfield and Chicago in regards to data privacy, are moving the needle on the national scale. Because I know there's a lot of conversations about the FCC and it's a very heated debate. But I think there's some things happen here specifically about how our data is being used by third parties that could change the national conversation. So I'm excited to get to know more about that.
Yeah. I also, like, from my standpoint, I actually think that a lot of people just don't really understand what it is.
Yeah. Right.
I think exactly. It's like the impact. It's like, well, I don't, how does that impact me? I don't get it. And so that's going to be the part that I'm looking forward to. But now,
Now
I will let you gear up and get ready for the feed.
Order in the food court. I'm Sean Frelick, host of The Feed, where I dish top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Blame is splattering the walls after one of the largest ever cyber attacks locked thousands of computers last week for ransom. The U.S. National Security Agency was called out by Microsoft President Brad Smith. Instead of telling Microsoft about a weakness in the Windows system, the NSA held it secretly, and lo and behold, it was stolen. By who? We don't know. But hold on, Microsoft is not off the hook. Millions of computers still run on Windows XP, which debuted in 2001. Why? Well, because later, Microsoft products sucked and people like XP. Instead of serving XP users, Microsoft has left them in the dust with outdated security. So mix in the NSA stockpiling cyber weaknesses with Microsoft leaving behind customers who didn't buy the newest product, and you get the WannaCry ransom attack. Microsoft has since serviced Windows XP users and allowed them to update the security, but the NSA has not said a peep. What are you waiting for, folks? You too busy spying on people you're sworn to protect? If your computer is locked by ransomware, instead of paying up like a chumperoonie, call a specialist, but realize your information may be gone for good. Bye-bye, baby pictures. If you are wondering why fewer millennials are buying homes, 35-year-old Australian millionaire Tim Gerner has the answer. In a recent interview, he blamed avocado toast. Avocado, oh no, homie. Yup, he said if millennials don't buy so many avocado toasts, they'd be better positioned to purchase a home. For fun, Neighborhoods.com measured how many avocado toasts millennials would have to abstain from in order to buy a home. The median home price in Chicago is $225,000, which comes out to over 4,000 servings of avocado toast, which run at an average of $11 a pop. So dumb millennials would have to go 11 years without avocado toast to buy a home in Chicago. Besides, avocado toast is just carbs and fat, so you should lay off it anyway. Finally, this week's Technori shout-out goes to breaking the stigma of bipolar disorder. UIC researchers have developed the app BiEffect, which tracks texting habits to help make persons aware of a depressive or manic episode. The team has been funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and is making some changes before arriving on the App Store. Bipolar disorder affects 5.7 million Americans, according to the National Institute of Health. That's it for me, you wild animals. Find me on Technori.com Monday night for my full show.
Very nice, Sean.
All right. Feels good.
It feels good to be done.
I'll take people.
I'll take that. Mike Reaver, welcome back to the show here. We're going to segue back into you. As we mentioned in the preset here, we've actually talked about this a little bit on the show and on Sean's show, The Feed, about the importance of the Right to Know Act and what it meant and like how it impacts us. As the person who would know this probably better than anyone, why don't you just kind of tell us what exactly what it is and how it impacts the regular person?
Sure. I can thank you for having me first.
Of course.
Of all.
Absolutely.
So the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce has been involved with this the past several months. There's two bills, basically. One is the Right to Know, the so-called Right to Know bill. The other one is related to geolocation. Both are pretty bad bills because the conversation really is not about privacy. I think your listeners will want to know the fact that this is very much pushed by a plaintiff's firm here in Chicago. There's just one that has a habit of suing companies, especially tech companies, for in class action lawsuits. Basically, they make millions of dollars off of suing companies. So the conversation that we're having in Springfield is not necessarily a legitimate one. Because it's couched in terms of right to know. It's something that's very important that companies do take very seriously, but that's not the conversation that's going on in Springfield, because this is just another avenue for these plaintiffs' firms to sue companies. And it should be noted that it's not just tech companies, although that's their focus. It impacts retail, restaurants, anybody with a website or mobile app. A small business owner, you're going to be impacted by this and open up to two frivolous lawsuits. To go into a little bit of detail about the bill, for example, with the right to know, there is a laundry list of items that a company that has a website would have to maintain and collect and then identify that data with a specific individual person, because what the bill allows is for that person to then talk to or contact that business to say, hey, how are you using my data? I need to know it. And up until now, well, still now, but what this bill would do is basically connect that person's data with their individual name. So now if that data gets breached, it's much more likely to put your sensitive information even more out there. Sure. Because it's identified. And then the other part of the Right to Know Act is that it's actually very overbroad in the sense that they give you a laundry list of items that a company can that has to fulfill of maintaining, but it also is not limited to that information. So that's where that potential for lawsuit and liability comes for any company, is because you have a laundry list of items, and in normal circumstances, at least you know what you're accountable for, right? But it's not limited to that information. So now you're opening yourself up for potential lawsuits because of something you weren't aware of that you had to actually maintain and collect.
Yeah, so I mean, like, part of this is it scares me to death because, you know, I think about all of the different stuff that I scatterbrain fill out, right? Like every website that I put whatever crazy information, and then you think about the ones that, like, you can just click to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so now you're creating a profile. If anyone wanted to actually do this, and there's plenty of people who do, who want to create this profile, they could skim information about you across a litany of sites.
Correct.
And essentially piece it together and be like, well, on this site, Scott Catoon used his name, and here's where he used a password, and here's where he used his bank account number, and here's his social security number, and here's his address. And they sort of piece together all of the information you would need in order to create whatever you want using my identity. And it's almost impossible to track because you have different policy. You have a different policy. I signed up willingly here. You ripped mm-hmm. me off here. You used my Facebook pixel there. It's impossible. So the two questions I kind of have for you before we roll into sort of the implications are, what are some of the frivolous lawsuits that what are the grounds? What are some of these grounds that are being sued on?
So, for example, with the geolocation bill, there is a clause in there that would basically void your privacy terms. So that privacy policy that you post that a user has to click on or approve before entering
worthless.
The website is absolutely worthless. So those protections that are built into that those legal protections that are built into that privacy policy are now void and unenforceable. So even though there's not a explicit private right of action in the actual legislation, there is a backdoor, if you will, to private lawsuits through that unenforcing of the privacy policy and the protections that it's provided. So that's a very specific example. Same thing with the right to know. There's a conversation going on the proponent side about privacy and all this stuff. And again, it's not really about that, because while there's enforcement from the Attorney General and the state's attorney's office, that's one avenue of enforcement. The second avenue of enforcement in that right to know bill is actually, again, through that voiding of the privacy policy terms. So, again, kind of going back to what we first talked about, it's not really a conversation about privacy. It's about allowing backdoor opportunities for these plaintiffs' firms to sue. Growing and burgeoning tech companies. I mean, Chicago, as you all know, is sixth in the world right now, rated by KPMG study in March of 2017 as one of the fastest growing tech hubs in the entire world. And I think it's important for your listeners to know this would send a chilling effect for businesses large and small, and not just tech, but especially tech, because this is what they tend to go after.
And this is also one of those things that I personally, when I first saw this kind of coming to the light, this was a conversation, I laughed, not in a good way, but I laughed thinking, this is like every other industry that's ever seen a big boom and it starts to get into the political realm. And it's like, well, how can we exploit this? How can we not – we're going to write the vaguest law possible that has tons of different things that sort of circumvents previous protections that might have been there so that we can do whatever we need to do, but we don't know what we need to do yet. We're not sure what we're going to have to do down the road. So what we're going to do is we're going to create this really vague language that allows us to basically disallow everything else previous. Please sign right here, initial here, and the date is this.
Right.
And it's that has happened on every – if you think of almost every single major – from, you know, now with fracking, it's the next thing. I mean, this continues to be a theme where the government and the powers that be end up not, I don't know if they didn't see the whole picture. I guess I'm not in that position to know that, but I feel like I never understood of whether they see it and it's bad and they're doing this and it's bad, or is it they didn't see it and they're getting taken advantage of and then we're just the, we're the ones that lose out. You know, it's hard to know.
It's hard to know. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think that when you're talking about privacy and protecting consumer data, it's a serious conversation that both lawmakers, yourselves, and even members of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce take very seriously. But it's hard to have that conversation when we're more focused on suing companies rather than actually solving the problem of protecting consumer data. And so that's why we've been so forceful in opposition, because we're having two conversations in one, right? It's about what the bill does, which is open those opportunities for lawsuits through voiding those privacy policy terms, as well as couched under the umbrella of privacy and right to know. And that's hard to have a rational conversation on, because most politicians, and rightfully so, you know, how do they go against that, right? How do they vote against that when they're on the floor of the House or the Senate, when it's so easily couched in terms of right to know? It's like, well, who would want to be against that? But the devil's in the details, and I think that's where it's very challenging to talk with some of these legislators. But we're part of a coalition that has been trying to oppose this and really say, if you want to have this conversation, we will sit down with you as a tech community and talk about privacy and how to actually achieve that. But you know, we're not having that conversation right now, and we're going to be giving language to the sponsor by tomorrow to have that conversation. And so hopefully he'll be receptive to it. That's specifically with the geolocation bill tomorrow.
Yeah. So, you know, and here's another part of this. And I, if I'm wrong here, obviously you are probably going to know this better than I would. So if I'm way off, please jump in on it. I feel like, and this is almost unbelievable, but I feel like we have a problem where people don't really understand the impact of this. Like, we say that it's easy. Like, you made the point, like, who wouldn't vote for the right to know?
Right.
Yeah, except I like don't think about it in like the real terms. Like, I know we make a big deal about privacy. You talk about it everywhere. The problem is, I still think that people don't actually understand conceptually what the impact is. Like, they think of like, well, someone steals my information, they might sign me up for a card. Okay, fine. They might call me from some sort of South African currency scam. Mm-hmm. Fine. They don't think about it in terms of like IRS changing, messing with your Social Security, screwing your credit, like all of this crazy stuff. And that doesn't even count signing you up for all kinds of other stuff and just absolutely raining hell on your life. I still think people don't conceptually understand what the impact of data is. Like, we talked about this with previous guests. We're out of the big data, quote unquote, term, where now we're like, all right, I think we get it, big data. Right. Now we're in the world, like, how do we use it? And I think because of that, the people, the voters and the people who this impacts, not on the tech side so much. I think most of those people know what we're doing. The other people who this impacts, I think they really don't quite understand how important this is.
Right. Absolutely. And I think you're spot on. I think that it's worth noting that this is a solution seeking a problem, basically.
Yeah.
There's been no instance where this is actually needed in Illinois or nationwide. And I give that example because a couple years ago, data breach was a big deal. A major retailer, data was breached on consumer information. That was fixed here in Illinois, and that was done in a bipartisan and in a broad conversation dialogue with not only retailers but tech companies and the like. So, again, if we were talking about privacy, I think that would be the type of conversation we'd have. But there's been no problem and violation that we've needed to cure.
Which
with
is
this legislation.
Is the red flag, right? Always.
Correct.
Like, that's always the red flag when you're like, so there's an obvious conversation here that we're not having, and I'm really confused as to why you haven't baked this into the bill. What are you trying to do here?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where that voiding of the privacy policy, that's one of the major concerns. There's other concerns with this legislation, but that's a big concern. And if I may, a little quick infomercial. Your listeners can go to chicagolandchamber.org, and there's an advocacy tab there, and we have a kind of a voter contact system, basically. So if your listeners are able to go to chicagolandchamber.org, go to the advocacy tab, contact your elected officials. It takes 2 minutes to fill out a pre-drafted email, and it goes directly to your state legislator. I think it's important for them to hear from your listeners.
No, I agree. And I also think that if, in general, if you're going to do this, you need to learn more about this, because right. the thing is if you, and this is the, I mean, not to get into a deep political thing, because you can see how quickly this could escalate. But we're in this place where people like live on common knowledge. Mm-hmm. They don't ever dig deep enough to know like what the real impact. They hear a word, buzzword goes through their head. They're like, "Eh, privacy, bad."
Right.
You know, right to know, good. Like, they, you know, that's one of those things that people don't actually dig down and learn about it. So if nothing else, I hope that people go to the website just to learn like what this is, because the more people read about this kind of stuff, the more they'll recognize a stinker when it comes down the pike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've seen in committees over the past couple of years, you know, having enough people talk or even testify down in Springfield or having contacted your legislator just through an email or a phone call, that does have an impact. I think that's really important for your listeners to know too as well.
Well, that's again, it's very similar. And that's why we talk. I don't know who we were at. We had a light bank dinner last night, and we were all talking about the fact that it was like 30-something% of people voted, and even less when it's non-presidential.
Yep.
And yet everyone runs around saying, like, you didn't vote? Like, what? I voted. Like, that's like a big thing, and no one does. And so this is a very similar thing. People act on commonality. They act like, oh, I know all about this privacy thing, but mm-hmm. they don't.
Right.
This is another example of where everybody says, oh, yeah, contact your state rep. Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody does.
And to be fair, they don't think it has an impact, but even working for a state.
And they can't find them.
They don't know who the hell they are. Right. But it does have an impact. I've worked in district offices for two state officials, and I know that when people call, constituents call, so you have to call your legislator. You're wasting your time.
Don't call your neighbors.
Correct. Yeah, don't call your neighbors. But it does have an impact. I mean, these guys don't get a lot of calls from constituents. So even if, I'm not kidding, if you have 30, 40 people call in, Your state rep will get their attention.
Yeah, no, it has to, because you're sitting there going like, listen, like right now, if nobody calls me, then I just assume I get my lobbying money, I get my campaign money, I go out there next time, I run the same name, I get the same votes, and we keep going. If you have 50 people or 100 people or 1,000 people go, hey, I don't like what you're doing, I'm not going to vote for you next time. Now all of a sudden I got to raise a lot more money. This job just got a lot harder.
Right.
It's absolutely. That simple. People just don't, you know, yep. or they don't know it or they don't want to know it. I don't know.
Right.
This is cool. Very fascinating. Sean, any thoughts on what you've heard?
Yeah, I just wanted an update as to where the bill currently stands.
Sure. So the geolocation bill, which is House Bill 3449, that is in the Senate right now. It was started in the House. It passed out of the House. It is currently in the Senate. As I mentioned, we're working on, as a coalition, some draft language to have that conversation specifically about privacy. And so we're hopeful that the sponsor will take that into account. The right to know bills, there are two of them. They're basically the exact same thing. One started in the House, one started in the Senate. They've now flipped, so they passed out of each respective chamber and are now in the other. So we had a committee on the geolocation just this week. We will likely have committees next week on the right to know. But we've got 2 weeks before the end of the legislative session, so it's going to be important for your listeners to contact their state legislators because it does make a difference, and hopefully we can slow this train down because it is moving, and it's moving very quickly, and it will have an impact.
Yeah, and to that point, I would like for you to clear up for our listeners what kind of precedent you believe this would set if it were to become law.
Well, a lot of legislators and general assemblies always look to surrounding states. It's one of the first questions when you're passing any piece of legislation is, where has this been done before? This has never been done anywhere before. So the effect will be that now you'll have momentum for these similar type of bills going around the country, state by state, not at the congressional level. But state by state, you're going to have similar bills that are going to have the same chilling effect on tech companies and all companies go through, because now someone in a legislature in Nevada or Missouri or Ohio will now be able to say and ask, where has this been done before? And they'll say, oh, Illinois. And so that just sets the precedent for moving this type of legislation throughout the country.
Very cool. This has been great. Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time and teaching us a little something about this. Sean, awesome job in the feed today. Great questions. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, and I think this is absolutely a story that we'll keep viewers posted on the feed.
Yeah, I think we have to. I mean, this is, as you mentioned, we spent this whole show talking about the people that it impacts. We didn't talk about the businesses really that it impacts. So I guess maybe whenever you want to come back on, just let us know, and we'll stay up to speed on this. This has been cool.
Absolutely. Thank you both for having me.
Of course. Appreciate it. Thank you. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.